Hello and welcome to the debate. I'm Marzia Hashemi. Thanks so much for being with us. Well, just like its roots, the Assad regime was created based on the rigid and extreme Takfiri Wahhabi perspective. Accompanied by the British policy of divide and conquer, it continues to carry out this project in the region and the world. Riyadh continues to commit acts to provoke reaction, from the execution of Sheikh al-Nimr to the continuous bombardment of the people of Yemen, again playing the role of dividing the Muslim world. Stay with us as we take a look at the Saudi regime and its role in the region and the world.
The leader of Iran's Islamic Revolution, Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei, condemned the execution of the revered cleric as a great crime that will not go unpunished.
آمر به معروف ناهی از منکر دارای تعصب دینی غیرت دینی این رو انسان به قتل برسانه شهید کنه این رو این خب واقعا جنایت بزرگی است و اما خطاست به خاطر اینکه این خون دامن اینا رو خواهد گرفت بلاشه تردیدی نداشته باشند سیاست گذاران و مجریان و سیاست سازان دولت سعودی تردید نکنند که این خون دامن اینا رو خواهد گرفت پدرشون رو در میاره خدای متعال از خون بیگناه نمیگذره
The outspoken scholar in Ayatollah Khamenei's words was an advocate of a peaceful struggle who never secretly plotted against the kingdom. Though the inhumane execution of Sheikh Nimr brought torrents of criticism from numerous religious and political figures and sparked often angry protests in several parts of the world, the international community at large has been as silent as the grave. This is reflected in the leader's comments.
این کسانی که مدعی حقوق بشرن چرا خف خون گرفتن و حرف نمیزنن؟ این کسانی که مدعی آزادی و دموکراسی هن چرا حمایت میکنن از یک چنین دستگاهی؟
Iran's president has also denounced the execution in a statement as anti-Islamic and inhumane. Hassan Rouhani said the killing was in line with Saudi Arabia's sectarian policies in the region that contribute to the spread of terrorism across the world. Many critics are also of the same opinion. Riyadh is driving a wedge between Muslims to create further chaos in the region.
It's destabilized the entire region, and this seems to be an attempt to further divide the Muslim world.
One charge leveled against the Sheikh was inciting terrorism and sectarian strife inside the kingdom. But it's Riyadh itself that has been largely blamed for the sectarian fire that is already raging in the Middle East. Take Saudi's war against Shia and Nasrallah fighters in Yemen, for instance, or its military support for Bahrain's monarchy to suppress its Shia majority population. It's also become ever more clear that Saudis have been supporting terrorist groups for long. Al-Qaeda and its more ruthless offshoot, ISIL, would be non-existent today without Saudi's oil money and arms.
The Saudis are pure hypocrites. They're supporting terrorism in Syria and other places are attacking Yemen. But yet, at the same time, they're saying that anybody who is advocating or promoting sectarian tensions or refusing to obey the leader of Saudi Arabia is going to be executed. This is, you know, it's totally hypocritical.
Regardless of how the events would play out, it's for sure that Saudis will not benefit from the sectarian war they are pursuing. As Iran's leader Ayatollah Khamenei has said, Saudi crimes will one day catch up with them.
I'd like to welcome my guest to the program out of London, Islamic Human Rights Commission, Mr. Reza Kazem, and out of Beirut, political analyst, Mr. Jihad Morkadeh. Thank you both for being with us. Well, let's start this off in Beirut with Mr. Morkadeh. Why do you think the existence of one man, Sheikh Nimr al-Nimr, inflicts that much fear in the Saudi regime that they felt that they had no other choice but to execute him?
First of all, a lot of people have been speculating on the reason Sheikh Nimr was arrested. I don't know the reasons why he was arrested, but he was arrested in 2012. So the Saudis must have had a good case against him. And I'm not going to speculate about what was the case specifically, because I don't know what the reasons for the case were, except what people read in newspapers, and nobody know what happened in the Saudi courts. And people today are overreacting, in my opinion, because they are speculating today, because he has been executed, they are speculating about the reasons he was arrested in 2012. So we must make a difference between the reason he was arrested and whether or not he should have been executed.
So why do you assume, say with Mr. Morakati, I will get to you one second, Mr. Kazan. Mr. Morakati, why do you assume that the Saudis had a good reason? You said you don't actually know the reason, but you assume that they had a good reason to assassinate him. Why would you say that?
Very easy, ma'am. When a sheikh, a Shia sheikh, with such a big name, is arrested in Saudi Arabia in 2012, which is 3 years ago. They did not arrest any other Shia sheikh. Maybe they arrested some others, but this particular one was arrested in 2012. Now, since 2012, nobody ever bothered to raise the issue with the Saudis. So basically, the point is that they must have a reason.
Okay. Now, well, Mr. Kazan, let me get you in on this.
And of course,
the situation about the sheikh has been continually raised, as we know, from this country and many others since 2012 and before. Go ahead, Mr. Kazan, your take. You wanted to comment.
I'm astounded at what the other person is actually saying in terms of not knowing the reason why. We know what the reason why is in terms of the fact that the reason why he was executed was he disobeyed the ruler. Those are one of the things. It's because he was demonstrating, he was encouraging demonstrations, and he was leading demonstrations. Those were amongst the charges that were actually made against him. And the fact that he was arrested in 2012, we also need to understand the context of this. Prior to his arrest, there had been a series of protests that had actually taken place in the malls. It wasn't about the Shia Sunni narrative that you are continuing to put out as the Saudi regime wishes to. It is about the fact that the Saudi regime wished to actually take away from the fact that people from the Sunni Wahhabi community had protested in the malls just prior to his arrest, and the Saudi regime wanted to change the focus, change the narrative into a Shia Sunni one, and take away from the protests that were going on against the injustices of the Saudi regime from different sections of the Muslim community that exists in Saudi Arabia. And unfortunately, you've bought that narrative. It's astounding that you've dared to come onto this program and you don't know what the reasons are for his arrest. This has been going on for 3 years. And people have been protesting about this around the world, in Nigeria, in Indonesia, in Malaysia, in Geneva, different capitals in Europe, in London. We've been leading that campaign on freeing all Saudi political prisoners, not just Sheikh Nimr. And we've been saying that regardless of the background of the individual, of the individual aqaid that those people might hold, one thing that they do have in common is the fact that they're standing up against the injustices and the oppression of the Saudi regime.
Okay, stay with me, Mr. Kazan. Stay with me, Mr. Kazan. Let me get Mr. Morakati.
I don't buy that.
Back in on this.
I don't buy that.
Go ahead. You said you want to comment?
You don't even know the reason. What do you mean you can't buy it? You don't even know anything.
The issue of the oppression of the Saudi regime. I'm sorry?
Go ahead, Mr. Morakati, continue.
No, the issue of the oppression of the Saudi regime may be an issue. However, the real issue is when you have people in your own country trying to overthrow the legitimate government, like you would see you see already in Iraq, or you see in Yemen, the Houthis trying to overthrow the legitimate government. And any areas where you're trying to see the people trying to overthrow the legitimate government and the legitimate government trying to take issues in their hand, protecting themselves. This happens all over the Middle East.
So you're telling me, Mr. Markandi, this 56-year-old Muslim cleric who always talked about nonviolent protests and always talked about reforming in a peaceful manner, a political prisoner, was that much of a threat that the Saudi regime killed him?
I do not agree with your premise, madam.
Which premise is that, sir?
I do not agree with your premise. First of all, he was not peaceful. Okay, he has founded the militia, and he was trying to unseat the Saudi family, and as such, he was trying to destroy the legitimate government, and he said it in his speeches.
Are you saying that he encouraged violence, sir? Are you saying that he encouraged violence? This is my question. Is there a difference between encouraging reforms and encouraging violence, Mr. Morakande?
And this is the reason he was arrested. Not only he encouraged violence, he got arms and he founded the militia as well.
Mr. Kazem, I'll have you come in on this because, as we know, let me just go from the beginning of the creation of Wahhabism, which was by the British regime. A British colonel, during that time in his memoirs, called the memoirs of Mr. Hemphill, said that London needed a new interpretation of Islam that would sanction fratricide because it was initially illegal for Muslims to wage war against each other. Your comment and how this has played into what is going on today. Is the main role of Saudi Arabia to divide and cause chaos in this part of the world and elsewhere?
I think we really need to understand that the Saudi regime has no love for Islam. I mean, it's like, and we need to understand that this isn't about promoting any kind of sectarian narrative. We know that within Saudi Arabia, that 90% of the 30,000 political prisoners that the Islamic Human Rights Commission has written a report about, 90% of them come from the Sunni Wahhabi section of the Saudi community, Muslim community. When that is the case and the Saudi Wahhabi community itself is against the monarchy, against the injustices of this, there is no reason to paint this into a sectarian narrative and to try and put out as to what has gone on. We need to understand the context of what is going on. Saudi Arabia is creating chaos around the world in terms of the sectarian narrative that it is putting out. And we need to understand that this is the purpose of Saudi Arabia. And people who are resisting this and trying to counter this need to understand that they need to counter this narrative. Now, when this narrative is not going to be countered, and quite frankly, in some of the things, if I can also comment on the fact what the person from Beirut has actually said, it is shocking that he seems to have little knowledge of what is going on, yet he's making allegations about things that Sheikh Nimr has done, which are clearly counter to the speeches that are available on YouTube that he has made, that are available for public consumption, that the Saudis have actually used. So he is just completely distorting.
He seems to be in some kind of
Alice in Wonderland.
I have listened to them, and your allegations are
Please get
mine.
To grips with reality. Please get to grips with reality. You're living in an Alice in Wonderland situation.
Why is your reality better than
mine,
sir?
You need to understand what the situation is.
Okay, stay with
you
me. Both Mr. Kazem and Mr. Markandi, stay with
Wonderland.
Me. We've got to cross over to our Facebook wall and see what some of our viewers have had to say about this comment, about this show.
That is Saudi's aim, to spread sectarian violence among Muslim countries. That is Wahhabism teaching, hatred, division, violence. That sect of evil Wahhabism must be destroyed, as well as the bloody Saudi regime. This time, it will be a sectarian violence of Sunnis and Shias against Wahhabism and Takfirism, and puppets of Zionism. There are no sects in Islam, neither Sunni nor Shia. It's our own creation. Before blaming USA and Israel, blame yourself. How come the Saudi family does not face Daesh and any terrorism, but the Alawite's family in Syria has been the target of Western powers? Now it's time to stop Wahhabi terrorism. Saudi Zionist regime is responsible for every type of sectarian violence, either in Pakistan, Afghanistan, Yemen, or elsewhere. Media says Saudi Arabia funds terrorists. When Saudi government executes terrorists, the same media says Saudi Arabia violates human rights. All 9/11 suicide bombers were Saudis, and still the USA supports and sponsors Al Saud. Saudi Arabia is not a state, it's an oppressed nation in which a venal family has been created. The royal family is in power just because it does not annoy the White House. I don't know the kind of Islam Saudis are introducing to the world.
What about that, Mr. Morkande? You heard one of the comments of one of our viewers talking about the role that it's playing, and basically it is there to create division and, of course, not to annoy the United States. When we look at what is going on, the policies that Saudi has implemented, we look at Sheikh Nimr al-Nimr, and what he was calling was for fair for each individual of that country. He wanted everyone treated equally. Is that so far-fetched? There was no call for any types of violence ever, but just for all of the people of that country to have equal rights. What was wrong with those demands?
I'm going to be straightforward with you, madam. Sectarianism is not created by the people of the inside. Sectarianism is created by people trying to foment trouble from the outside in. So if you have a minority Shia population or a majority Shia population, and these populations are living in a country which is a normal country, those who push for trouble are those who are fomenting sectarianism and not those who are ruling the country that foment for sectarianism.
Mr. Morkande, the question I asked when Sheikh Nimr was demanding, he wasn't demanding for Shias. He was demanding for all people, everyone, all of those who are oppressed. And there are Sunnis who are oppressed. There are even Wahhabis who are oppressed in that country. We're not talking sectarians. We're talking about human values. He called for equality, that everyone, men and women, by the way, would be treated equally in that country.
Madam,
what is wrong with that demand?
It is an excellent question, madam. Let me tell you. Out of the 47 people who were executed, 44 were Sunni Wahhabis, Al-Qaeda related, who were trying to overthrow the regime.
Okay.
Now, I think that in any regime in the Middle East, it would have happened the same way. The other three Shia members who were also executed, including Sheikh Nimr, also were calling for the same thing, but for different reasons. And in my opinion,
Mr. Morkande, the history of Al-Qaeda, the history of Daesh, Mr. Morkande, the history of these entities that you're talking about is a violent history of one that does not believe in equality but superiority. What Sheikh Nimr was calling for was equality amongst all the people. Can you tell me that these are the same? Mr. Kazem, give me your take on the comments of our guests in Beirut.
I think one of the things that we need to understand that Saudi Arabia has been kept on a leash by the UK, the United Kingdom, and the US. And we know that there is a memorandum of understanding in which Saudi Arabia has been advised by the Ministry of Justice. So we need to understand that the instrumentalization of this sectarian narrative, which Saudi Arabia has been pumping around the world, comes from what the UK and the US want Saudi Arabia to actually do. So in that sense, what is going on and what Saudi Arabia is actually doing in that respect? And we also need to bring into this discussion and this debate the role that the advice that has been given by the UK has played in the fact that Sheikh Nimr has been held in prison for 3 years for basically protesting, which something in the UK has been would not, in that sense, the kind of things that he carried out would have caused any kind of problem. But within the Saudi Arabian context, it seems that the advice that the UK has potentially given has been very different. And we also need to understand that one of the reasons maybe that the leash has been loosened for Saudi Arabia to act with such impetuosity may have been to say, right, this is a time when Saudi Arabia seems to be losing on all kind of fronts. It's had a very damaging balance deficit come out. It's the war in on Yemen. The terrorism that's been carried out in Yemen is going badly. There needs to be a sectarian narrative that is pumped out so that all of the people can rally around this particular situation. And so there is that kind of level of thing. So we need to also bring into focus the role that the UK is playing within this context and continuing to foment this kind of sectarian narrative, because clearly one of the things that this is being done with this Sheikh Nimr thing is that people are putting this in terms of that focus.
And on that note, unfortunately, we're out of time. I appreciate both of you being with us out of London, Islamic Human Rights Commission, Mr. Reza Kazem, and out of Beirut, Mr. Jihad Morakat, a political analyst. And as always, viewers, we appreciate you being with us on another debate. I'm Marzia Hashimi, signing up. Hopefully, we'll see you right here, same time, same place tomorrow. Thanks so much and goodbye.